Glory to the Lord Jesus. Glory to the Lord God. Glory to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Jesus. Come on. Let's dig way down deep inside and give him some more praise, shall we? Oh, Lord Jesus. We love you, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you, oh God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being in the sanctuary this day. I want to welcome you to the sanctuary. So glad to have each of you that are here. And so glad for all of our guests. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 29. Bring you the word of the Lord from Matthew 20, 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. I preach to you today the title of this message. I want to bring to you as the power of your words. The power of your words. You could be seated. I'm feeling very, very radical today, Pastor Jason. In my mind, I'm jumping completely over this thing and landing on the... Wait around and see if I really will do that or not. Amen. I just feel a little bit crazy today. And I believe God's just going to do something. The power of your words. You know, here we have in the story, the blind men are making a great commotion to get Jesus' attention. They cried out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Maybe they were going like this. "Hey, Lord, here we are. Hear us, Lord Jesus," as they cried out. And those gathered around them told them, "Shut up. Keep it calm, man. You know, step back. You're getting in my way. You're getting in my face. You guys just shut up." But the Bible declares they cried out the more, saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And the Bible says that Jesus stood still and asked this question to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Oh, hallelujah. The power of your words. Somebody turn to a neighbor and say, "The power of your words." We know that much of God is unknown. We also know by the scriptures revealed unto us that outline certain things that God allows for everybody to see. You begin to thumb through this word of God and you'll see some incredible things jump out at you. But there will also be some things that you will not find, that you will not hear, that you will not see until you begin to dig into the word of God, or as you find in a prayer meeting somewhere that God will begin to enlighten your eyes. God will begin to speak things to you. There's those unseen things. Paul in Romans says, "We hope for that we don't see, but then with patience We wait for it. In the margin of my Bible, the King James Preaching Bible, it says, it's just a private joke, that's what I always call it, King James Preaching Bible. It says this in the margin. The Bible of my King James Preaching Bible. I want to make sure you understand that. You got it? Thank you, Brother Tracy. When it talks about this, the hope and things that you've not seen as yet, the Bible calls this, my Bible, in the margin now, calls this invisible realities. They're just as real. They're just as powerful. They're just as applicable to your life as the words that you read in the black and the white or the red. Though we realize there are certain promises, when we realize there are certain promises, results of prayer, the plans and answers that God has for you that you have not as yet received. It has not as yet happened. Remember, God never forgets. Remember, God never fails. I want you to listen to Proverbs 18 and verse number 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat fruit thereof. The power of the tongue. Could we not realize this day? Could not we understand this day, all of you that are sitting here under the sound of my voice, and perhaps all of those that will hear on this podcast at some point in time or another, could we not realize today the power of our words? Your words have the power to affect situations right now, today. Your words have the power to change things today. Oh, hallelujah. I believe that God impressed me with this yesterday. I was praying, and Brother Larry, I wasn't even thinking. I was just praying. I was just walking through the building and praying. And I just felt that God impressed me. Now is the time. Now it's time. It's time. You know, we look in the Word of God, and I mentioned this before. We look in the Word of God how that things were falling apart. Everything was happening. It was bad. Stuff was wrong. And suddenly the prophet begins to write. It's all messed up. Everything's bad. It's time for you to work, oh Lord. Hallelujah. I feel that excitement right now that it is time for God to work. I believe that God spoke through and to me that now is the time. It's the season of the troubling of the waters. It's the season of miracles. It's the season of signs and wonders. It's the season of outpourings of the presence of God. Now is the time. It's time for somebody to receive a miracle. It's time for somebody to receive an answer that they prayed for. The devil bombards us with doubt and negativity everywhere we turn. Many times because of what we see or don't see. But remember, there are invisible things that are just as real as this platform I'm standing on. Just as real as this small little preaching point. Flower stand, whatever you would call it, Bible holder, just as real. But our downfall is that we listen to trash. We listen to the devil's stuff and junk. We feel guilty when our own righteousness is in question. Anybody ever made a mistake in this house? Anybody ever failed at something or other? Anybody ever dropped the ball at some point or time? It's our downfall because we are guilty. Because the Word of God declares it pretty evident. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. because you've had doubt, because you've doubted certain things, because you've been inconsistent. The devil convinces you that God won't hear you. Man, it's gotten quiet in here. Where's the excitement we had just a while ago? You know what I'm saying is truth. You've experienced it also. You've gone through this. And because of all that, the devil speaks, God won't hear you. It's not going to happen to you. So why don't you just quit calling out to God? So, let me reemphasize that unbelievable word. So what? You lack righteousness at times. Everybody does. But listen to this. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 6, it says, but the righteousness which is of truth, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Goes on to go into other detail. But it also says this a little bit later. The righteousness of faith declares, your answer is in your mouth. The power of your tongue. The words that you speak. Hallelujah. We didn't come from the law. We're not children of the law. We're not children of bondage. We're not children of a bunch of rules and stuff. Although we must follow the Lord. Although we live after the Lord. But we're not just subject and children of the law. But we're children of the faith of Abraham, the father of faith, that believed God. And God counted that belief in him. God counted that faith in him, so to speak, as righteousness. And so the righteousness of faith says, if you can have a little faith here today, baby, if you can have a little faith, if you can begin to dig out a little faith right now and begin to understand that God is able to do anything and everything for you, that God's able to step in, God's able to do a miracle for you today. Praise God, because that's the righteousness of faith. Declares there's power in your words. Oh, sure. You would bring up this. Yeah, I've said some foolish words before. How about you? Look at Elijah. Here's the guy that's quite the story. Wow, Elijah. Man, I wish I could gather all the prophets of Baal and annihilate them. I wish I was walking by faith in the Lord. I wish the angel of the Lord would get the stuff for me to eat. Or ravens. Well, let's just keep it angels. But here he is, this great man of God. This great, tremendous prophet of the Lord. One of the greatest prophets you'll find in the Word of God. Sitting over in a cave, feeling sorry for himself. Guess I'm the only one, Lord. I guess it's just me. And he says, okay, God, here's my life. God, just take my life. Any of you ever said anything like that? Or thought anything like that? Surely pastor hasn't. Well, won't say yes or no. What do you think?
We all have failed and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have moments of doubt and confusion. But understand this. Even Elijah that said that has no idea that God speaks to him and said, hey, old buddy, I've got some tremendous things for you. I've got some miracles. I've got some installation of kings. I've got some glorious things. And could you imagine, Elijah, here you are feeling sorry for yourself and saying, just take my life. And God says, I've got a chariot of fire. It's never happened before in the world. Nobody's ever seen anything like this, Elijah. It's prepared for you here in a short little while. Another 10 or 15 years. What? But it's going to swoop down. You're going to get on it, and you're going to ride up to glory in a chariot of fire. But this moment, he's feeling sorry for himself. Understand the power of your words. Paul, the apostle, as he begins to direct us in that, as we understand the faithfulness, the faith that is unseen, the faith that you somehow can't touch or feel, but the faith you put in the Lord, put all the other junk in the trash bin of yesterday. The time is now. The time is now. I'm calling to some folks today that are tired of being messed around. I'm calling to some folks today that are tired of being beaten up. I'm telling you, under the authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the time is now. Jesus Christ is here. Look, Jesus did many, many miracles. And almost every one of them were people that specifically sought him out, you'll discover in the scripture. A leper came worshiping God and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You know what leprosy is, don't you? According to the Word of God. Anybody know? It's a type of sin. A type of sin is leprosy. So Jesus looks at him. What have you done now? I never see that. Never read that. He said, I will, immediately. No stammering, no stuttering. I will be clean. Immediately. The woman with the issue of blood said within herself, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. There's story after story that I can bring to you. The blind man healed at Capernaum. The blind man healed at Bethsaida. And then down, way far down, further down, near the Dead Sea in Jericho is the story that I bring to you today of two blind men at Jericho. And one of them is probably blind Bartimaeus. And here's what I want you to see. Jesus heard their cries. He stopped still, dead in his tracks. When they cried out to him. But the multitude was all around him. There were needs everywhere all around him. There was miracles that could have happened everywhere all around them. But he heard two obnoxious voices hollering out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Ooh, hallelujah. I wonder how many other needs were there. I wonder how many other situations that were there that was so necessary. It was a multitude. But two blind men got his attention because they called out to him. Over and over, miracles were given to people that responded to him. Jesus knew all things. At first glance, he could tell they were blind. There wasn't a doubt that he knew
that they were blind. Even the crowd knew that they were blind. Their dress, their actions, their mannerisms yelled out loud and clear, "I'm blind." He knew, without a doubt, they were blind. Why then would Jesus say, "What do you want me to do?" God, would you just give me a good offering today? God, would you give me enough money to make it? Man, I'm gonna step out, way out. Could you give me enough money to make it for 6 months? Whew. I know I'm out on a limb here. But what'd they say? "Lord, that you might open our eyes. That you would do a miracle. That you would do something that's never been done before in Israel. That you would do something that until you came, we really didn't know anything about this." Why did Jesus say that? Because he knew the power of their words. And he wanted you and I that are sitting here today understand the power of your words. Brother Jeff, if you would come. He wants you to understand the power of your words. Your voice. Your words. Unlock the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. I wish somebody would call out, "Shall we stand?" I wish somebody would unloose the power of God in your life today. I wish somebody would be just a little bit desperate for Him. I wish somebody would begin to visualize right now what you desperately need in your life. I wish somebody, as you begin to visualize, would begin to call out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Oh, hallelujah. Hekotos. Jesus. Jesus. There's such a strength of the Spirit here. There's such an anointing here in the name of Jesus. There's such a power of God right here in the name of Jesus. There's ability with God. There's power with God. There's presence with God. There's miracles here. Would you step out from where you are and make your way up, believing and calling out what you need God to do for you this day in the name of Jesus. Come on, now, it's time. It's the time now.